BBC News with Marion Marshall. The United States and Russia have agreed a plan to remove and destroy Syria's chemical weapons as soon and as safely as possible. The US Secretary of State John Kerry and the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov also said they wanted to reopen wider peace talks. Mr. Lavrov said the proposed deal didn't mention any potential use of force if Syria failed to comply. Our diplomatic correspondent James Robbins reports.
The US-Russia agreement allows President Assad just 7 days to declare a complete list of Syria's entire chemical weapons stockpile. International inspectors are to be on the ground in Syria by November. All stockpiles are to be removed or destroyed by mid-2014. And there'll be a new UN resolution to enforce all this, although the two sides differ about what that could mean in practice.
President Obama has welcomed the deal agreed in Geneva, but has warned that if diplomacy fails, the United States remains prepared to act. In a statement, he said the threat of US military force had helped create the opportunity to end the Syrian chemical weapons threat through diplomacy. The commander of one of Syria's main rebel armies, General Salim Idris of the Free Syrian Army, has said the deal would not resolve the crisis and would allow President Assad to escape being held accountable for the deaths of hundreds of civilians. The BBC's Middle East editor, Jeremy Bowen, is in the Syrian capital, Damascus.
The Free Syria Army, the loose coalition of armed rebels that has been hoping for Western help to fight the Assad regime, has rejected the agreement. Less than a week ago, the FSA believed that the Americans were about to launch a military attack, which it hoped would tip the balance of the war its way. Now, the FSA believes that the Americans have been sidetracked. Whether or not chemical weapons are destroyed is not the point. The FSA wants the Americans to destroy the regime's military power. And the US agreement with Russia means the chances of that happening are receding.
Police in Iraq say a suicide bomber near the northern city of Mosul has killed more than 20 people at the funeral of a member of the minority Shabak people. Here's Danny Eberhard.
It's not yet clear who carried out the attack or why. The Shabaks are a separate ethnic community numbering tens of thousands and have their own language. Most are Shia Muslims, and they've been targeted in the past by Sunni extremists. Iraq has, of late, seen a wave of sectarian attacks. According to United Nations figures, some 5,000 civilians have been killed there this year, the worst level of violence since 2008.
A Russian politician from President Putin's ruling party has sparked a storm of criticism after posting an apparently racist image of President Obama on Twitter. Irina Rodnina tweeted a photo collage showing an unidentified hand offering the US president a banana. The image evokes the brandishing of bananas at black players by Russian football fans. BBC News. The Italian Prime Minister Enrico Letta has appealed for political stability ahead of a vote on whether to expel Silvio Berlusconi from Parliament, a move which could threaten the coalition government. A Senate panel will vote on Wednesday on whether to punish the former Prime Minister following his conviction for tax fraud. Mr. Berlusconi says that if Mr. Letta's party expels him, he might pull his own party out of the government and bring it down. Mr. Letta says he's convinced that Mr. Berlusconi won't do this, as he would then have to answer for jeopardising the Italian economic recovery. The US National Guard has been deployed in the state of Colorado to supply food and water to people awaiting rescue following severe flooding. As a huge operation continues to help people trapped on the eastern edge of the Rocky Mountains, National Guard troops have taken supplies to the town of Lyons, which has been cut off. 4 people are known to have died in Colorado. Alistair Leithhead reports.
The rain surged down from the Rocky Mountains, flooding homes and farmland, cutting off communities as dozens of roads were blocked or swept away. The floodwaters are subsiding, and there's a big push to restore transport links as quickly as possible. But hundreds of people are still unaccounted for and in need of help. While the clean-up has started and the weather is changing, rain is still forecast for the Rocky Mountains. And officials are warning people there could be more flash flooding to come.
A ship that's been billed as China's first luxury cruise liner has been detained at a port on the South Korean island of Jeju because of a legal dispute. A local court ordered the vessel, the Henna, not to leave after a Chinese shipping company asked for it to be seized. The ship's operator is providing free entertainment and around-the-clock food on the liner, which has more than 2,300 passengers and crew members on board. The Henna was due to leave Jeju on Friday. BBC World Service News.